Amen. Once again, it's my privilege to be before you all. I can see the old and new faces, and I'm happy to be back home. I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I also bring you greetings from our country, from our church, and my family. I'm happy to be here to fellowship with you, for with all my heart I believe this has been the will of God that we be together. You know, it was a Bible where everything was distorted, and the Bible says languages differed and people went to different places, and because of the conditions and the environment, we turned out to be shaped differently. But in the beginning, God wanted us to be one. And I want to believe by His grace, He's bringing us together. Well, it used to be that for you to meet a person, you must actually visit him or come to him. But with scientific change, we can see one another from afar. We can hear one another from afar because of technology. But even though that is not the perfect will of God, we still need to fellowship. Like it was with Mary and Elizabeth, they fellowshiped personally. So I'm happy that I come here to get a blessing from you people. So, to the visible audience and to those who are together with us, as I say, technology has made it possible that we can see one another from afar, behind walls and behind mountains. God has made it possible that this morning we come to fellowship with one another, here physically and scientifically. So I just want to thank the Lord. It was, I think it was last week on Friday, when I traveled from my home up country, and I was driving on very dusty roads up country, and the dust affected me, my throat. When I came back, the last Sunday I preached in church, my voice was hoarse, but now it's clearing up. And I want to thank God that I'm able to speak. Amen. So I always have you in my heart and my mind ever since the Lord has made me to be acquainted with you, and I respect your faith in God and your standing on the word. For we know we are living in this day when there's a great falling away, but I want to thank God for your faith and your standing, being unmoved by whatever is happening around us. I pray that the Lord will keep us like this even unto the day of His coming. Now, this morning I just want to share with you something very little from the Word of God. For with all my heart, I believe we are a very privileged people to be accorded this opportunity of coming to know God in the way that He has revealed Himself to us. Okay. these things also. I just want us to turn to our Bibles and read from the first book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to read verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We go back to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. We want to read verses 4 and 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. I read verse 5. I should have read verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I just want to share with you a little thought here, which may pertain to our identity. Why we are here and who we are. I just want to share with you on this topic. You are God's choice. Here the scripture tells us that you are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a people chosen of God. So the church is a holy people whom God has not only maybe brought himself, but he has handpicked and separated you for his own glory. So we are here because God, in his infinite mind, he looked upon you, he saw you, and he did not only call you, but he chose you. Out of the billions on this good old earth, God has chosen you. And he has chosen you not on experimental basis, but he has chosen you for a purpose. And that purpose was in him even before the foundation of the world. When he dwelt in himself as the great Elohim, when he was alone, he had a mind. And in that mind, he wanted something to come to being. He had a great purpose, which was holy and eternal as he was. And then, after he created all the things that we may think are great, when we look to the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth with all its mountains, the ocean, and all those great things that you may think they are great, those things never satisfied God's heart. He had a mind. He had a purpose, which the sun could not accomplish. which the mighty ocean could not bring into being. But he chose the people. And yet the scripture says, it was you, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a people called to God, not because of who and what you were in your being. For it says here, before we were lost, we were, you know, entangled in the foolish things of the world. It's not what we expressed ourselves to God that God should choose us. But he chose us irrespective of the condition, irrespective of who we were and what we were. Because he could see in you, and only in you, the fulfillment of his purpose. And why did God have to do that? As I'm saying, we were not on neutral ground. We were called. When we were called, we were already infested in the waters of sin. We were without God. We were alienated. But God chose us. Amen. Amen. The scripture says in the book of Ephesians, where we have just read, I think we can go to chapter 2, where the scripture tells us who and what our condition was. Here it says, and you yet he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. Amen. So this is the condition in which we were. We were outside God. We were dead in our sins. And we walked after the pattern of the children of disobedience. By our birth, we were naturally joined to the world and to sin. For here the Bible tells us that we were like the children of wrath. That's what nature formed and made in us. It separated us from the realities of God, from the holiness of God. But remember, way before we came to be what nature gave us, there was a mind, there was a purpose, there was a destiny that God had for us. And then God brought us. Now, when we look at this, it may make us wonder, why did God choose me? Because we were not only called, we were chosen. Now, when it comes to choosing, it's an individual affair. It's one by one. Can you see? He did not just group us together. He chose us and placed us in our particular place. That's why, you know, we can never be disturbed. We can never be discouraged by whatever we may go through. Because God, when he called us, it was not a trial and error. It was not just God was trying to say, figure out, maybe if this goes like this, if this one comes, maybe it will be okay. But we were in his mind. We were in his heart. God had a destiny. And nothing can take us away from that destiny. Because we are called of him. And elected of him. And brought to him for his very purpose. So, even our intentions, our desires, are all governed by what God has done and is doing in our life. We are not here to please anybody. We are not here to please ourselves. We are here because the great eternal God has chosen us for his own glory. Amen. And you know, sometimes, you know, it makes me cry to be speaking to a people whom God has chosen himself for his own purpose. You know, it would be a terrible thing, you know, just to try to squeeze people into something that is of my own mind and making. Yet God has called these people for his own destiny. That's why the Bible says it's terrible to fall into the hands of God. When God has chosen his people, he has chosen them for himself. And sometimes you have to be careful what we do with the chosen of the Lord. So who are we? And why did God choose us? When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 7 of the book of Deuteronomy, I just want to read some two verses there. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. We'll read from verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, yet God, the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why did God have to call us as his people? It's not because we are better than others. It's not because we are holier than others. Because the Bible tells us that we were all in the mark of sin, and we were all walking after the manner of the children of disobedience. But God had a special respect for his own will and his own mind. Here to the people of Israel, he says, God is faithful to the covenant that made with the fathers. And we all know it began with Abraham. Who was Abraham? Way back there in Mesopotamia. And God called him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham, that he may be the father of nations. Which means God imparted his being, his mind, and his purpose upon Abraham. So that through Abraham, by the natural seed, he will be father of many nations. And by the spiritual seed, which was by the faith of Abraham. And we all know faith. It's not by just what we see. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the word of God is the mind of God. So it was imparted on Abraham that he be the father. Why was he father? Because in God, in himself, he desired to be father. So he transferred his fatherhood to Abraham. And then made a promise to Abraham, who was enshrined in that purpose of God being father. So when he became father, it was not just by natural endowment. For God to prove it, he let Abraham grow old to the end that the scripture says he was dead. Even Sarah's womb was dead. But by faith that was in Abraham, he considered not his dead body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And when Isaac was born, he was a result of the purpose of God and the love of God. And he was a son to Abraham because God had put on Abraham that fatherhood, which was originally in God himself. That's why Isaac was a forefigure of the true seed, which is Jesus Christ, by whom we also came. For the Bible says we were dead in our sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, raised us up together with Christ. Who is Christ? The true seed of Abraham, who was endued with the fatherhood of God, who desired not to have a people just for fellowship, not to have a people just for friendship. We are not in God by association. We are not in God by simple fellowship, but we are in God by birth. The very DNA of God is embedded in you. So you are the chosen of God. You are not just somebody who just come maybe to have fellowship and have friendship and just to while time around. The angels of God, that's why the Bible says, even the angels of God look into these things. When they see you, that's why the Bible says, when one sinner comes to the Lord, there is joy in heaven. Because there is that revelation in the angels. What causes man to come to God? It is that predestination. It is that choosing of God. And when the angels see the will of God being performed on earth, whereby a sinner is coming into his true abode, then there is reason for joy to be in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here we are told, the purpose of God was to show forth his glory. The purpose of God was to accomplish that will which was in him before the world began. Even here in a figure, God called Israel, like we read here in Deuteronomy, God called Israel out of Egypt. Like he did, he called us out of our own Egypt, which is worldliness. And he brought the people of Israel into that land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan was called the land of promise. It was not a destiny, but they were put in a place where the continuity of the mind of God was to be accomplished in them. For the scripture tells us that when they came out of Egypt, they were told, you are going to the land of promise. When they got to that land, the book of Hebrews tells us that if Joshua He had given them rest by entering into that land. Then God would not have chosen another day, which is called today. So the land of promise was a land where the continuity of the mind and purpose of God was to be accomplished. For Moses said, God has given you me, the prophet, but he's going to give you a prophet like unto me. So Moses was not the end, but he was a figure of the real one who is to come. And that was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, he was not even the end. Because he tells the disciples, it's expedient for me to go. Because when I go, you still have a promise of the Holy Ghost, which is to come. And when the Holy Ghost came, Paul says, this is not the end, but the Holy Ghost is a down payment unto the total redemption. So we are a people of promise. We are a people who have been brought by God's choice into a way, or rather the way, that will make us accomplish what God has called us for. And we are here with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is not the end. But this Holy Ghost which is in us is the seal unto the day of redemption. And the Bible tells us, though we have the first fruits of the Holy Ghost, but there's a yearning in us. There's a desire in us that we should be made, that we will have that adoption. We are still desiring that. So, it is that choosing of God that makes us what we are and what prompts us to do what we do. We are not just wondering. Amen. But now let's come to this precise question. Why did God choose? Because the church was called and chosen. In the book of Ephesians, I think chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God revealed to us the mystery of his will. That's who we are. That's why we were chosen. There is that ability in you. There is that way in you to understand and to receive the hidden things that are hidden from all the world. To receive that which cannot be received by the world. It is the revelation of the mystery of his will. Amen. You know, maybe if I can just put it like this. It was the will of God that Abraham should go and sacrifice his son. It was the will of God that Abraham should leave that land and come to the land of Canaan. But when Abraham came to that land, you know, when you look at it, it looks like he has obeyed God and he has come to the place where God wants him to be. And that is in Canaan. But the scripture clearly tells us that Abraham, though he was in that land, he desired a city with foundation. He did not come to say, now, this is what God called me to. He received the mystery of the calling into this land of Canaan. When he was given the son Isaac, with him it was not the end. He understood the mystery behind this son whom he was given. And when he was told to go and sacrifice that son, it was not simple obedience. Like God says, go there and then you go. God says, pick that up, and you pick it up. With Abraham, it was not just mere obedience, but it was the revelation of the mystery of the offering of Isaac. Amen. So, because whatever God does, it is not prompted by eventualities or what has come to be. God has got a will which is eternally in Him. And He's looking for a people. He has chosen a people that can look beyond what is happening and see the purpose and the secret behind God's calling. And those people, the scripture here says, they are the chosen of God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, why then did God choose you? You know, Paul puts it, I think it's in the book of Romans chapter 8. Let's just get there. Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about our calling as he gives it in a figure. Romans chapter 8, we'll read verse 28 to verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So here we see the scripture that God's choice lays in His foreknowledge. Because He foreknew you, He could predestinate you. He could see your destiny. And because He could see your destiny, the Bible tells us that God created the earth by wisdom. And He established the heavens by understanding. So He is not on an experimental trend. God by wisdom, God by His foreknowledge, predestinated you. He already set your destiny. So if your destiny is set, who can disturb? Who can re-channel you? Who can take you out of that destiny that has been established by God Himself? It can never be. That's why God chose you. Amen. It's not a trial and error. It is a purpose. And God so honored that purpose that nothing could come your way that will disturb what God destined for you. I was saying some time back, you know, my dad is dead. My mom is also dead. They went on. But of course, they both became sick and died. But it doesn't mean that when they got sick, that's what actually caused them to die. Because they had been sick also before even I was born. But God could yet to hold death back until I was born.
Amen.
God kept them alive.
Amen.
So that I can be here.
Amen.
Nothing could come. Accidents, diseases, whatever Nothing could come in between.
Amen.
Because I had to be here.
Amen.
So, it is God's desire and his destiny for you to be in glory. What can come to disturb that mystery of God in you?
Amen.
Nothing. That's why God chose you. Amen.
Amen.
He knew what would go through. He knew what would happen in your family, in your church, with your acquaintances. Everything he knew. But he put his finger on you.
Amen.
And chose you.
Thank
you. Called you. Sanctified you.
Amen.
Justified you.
Amen.
And revealed. Just imagine. Of all the billions on earth. How God will establish you in this present faith. In this purpose that God has called his church to. That God is faithful.
Amen.
That God is determined to see you through.
Amen.
That's why God chose you.
Amen.
He invested in you.
Amen.
He emptied himself in you.
Amen.
That you may bring forth that glory.
Amen.
That he had in his mind.
Amen.
Amen. Though he created the sun, though he created the moon, though he created the mighty ocean, in all those great things he could not see his will satisfied. God called you.
Amen.
And no one can take you away from that great purpose of God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we were saying, why did God have to choose you? In the book of Romans, I think when you go to chapter 9, Paul says these words in verse 9 of chapter 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall save the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I hated. Amen. Now, let's just now, as we are going down to see the purpose of God and why he chose you. Excuse me. It says, our choosing was not after our works. God did not, was not attracted by your maybe standard of education. God was not attracted by your nationality. God was not attracted by your ability. For here the scripture says, before the children were born, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why could God do that? Paul says, then who has the choice? For he, God has got, he can make one vessel to be of honor and another one of dishonor.
Amen.
Then how can we say, why did God do this? Paul says, who are you men?
Amen.
To ask God.
Amen.
Amen. That shows the greatness of God.
Amen.
What he did to you personally. For Jacob was chosen of God. And Esau was rejected. Before they had done good, before they had done anything, God, thank you for before they done anything, God said, I love Jacob. Amen. But when you look at the life of Jacob, even his name was pointing to who he was as a planter. But God loved Jacob. As if that was not enough, Isaac, you know, he was born of Abraham according to the promise. And we know Ishmael was older than Isaac, but he was not according to the promise. So, Isaac was given the birthright by God's choosing. And now when Isaac, he had his own two boys, he knew or he accepted that the firstborn must be the one who must get the inheritance. And to him, Esau, no doubt, was the firstborn. As if that was not enough, Esau was so pleasing to Isaac. He was a good hunter. And even the appetite of Isaac was changed to love game, because Esau was a hunter. And Isaac put all his, his heart on Esau. According to nature, him being the firstborn. But God, he loved Jacob and he rejected Esau. Why did God have to do that? When we go to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read from verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meal sold his birthright. Now, can you see how Paul puts it here? He's saying the people, you know, we must be people who are committed to a good life and a clean life. Now, as Paul is teaching us how to walk in this way, he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. In the life of Esau, we don't find him being a fornicator. When we go back to the book of Genesis, we don't read anywhere where Esau was a fornicator. But here, Paul is, you know, like when you go to the book of Samuel, Samuel said to Saul, disobedience is just as good as the spirit of witchcraft. Can you see? When somebody disobeys, you know, when we think of witchcraft, you know, I don't know here, but way back in Africa there, you know, we have got all this voodoo and things of witchcraft. So they are witch doctors, so they call them. They are people who worship ancestral spirits. Now, they are witches. So we can at least group these people together. The witch doctors, the witches, the voodoo, all those, we can group them together. But how can you take disobedience and group it together with witchcraft? It looks there are quite different dimensions. But look here what the Bible is saying. He says the spirit that was in Esau was the spirit of a fornicator. Can you see that? And he sold. He did not have respect for the birthright. You see? And he despised what God had respect in. Because remember, God, in him he wanted to be father. Before there was anything, he wanted to be father. And he expressed it in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Can you see? Our redemption is through the spirit of fatherhood of God, as he begot this Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us to him. Amen. So can you see the mystery of fatherhood? Amen. The mystery of the birthright. That is what Esau rejected. That is what Esau despised. He could not respect, he could not, you know, honor what God had in his mind. Remember? We said, before God called you, you were in his mind. Can you see? So if you respect that which was in God's mind before it was manifested, then God has got better business with you than somebody who disrespects his will and his purpose. Amen. Doesn't the scripture say, Jesus, he said, I did not come to condemn the world. I came that the world may be saved. Amen. Is that right? He who believes in me shall be saved. But judgment is this, that God sent his Son and people loved darkness instead of accepting Jesus Christ. Instead of accepting God's will, they accepted something that is another thing. So what did God think in his mind? He thought of you to accomplish his own purpose. Amen. And God respects that. Amen. So here it says, Esau was given the birthright. No, just by natural birth, he was the firstborn. That's what God did to him. He gave him. By nature, he was just given the birthright. He was the firstborn. But there was a mystery. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1 we read, God revealed to us the mystery. That is the important thing. In the wilderness there, those 5,000 people, the good thing or the great thing about that miracle was not them eating that bread. But it was for them to see the mystery which Peter saw and said, where can we go? You have the word of life.
Amen.
For 40 years, they were eating manna. And their clothes never wore out. Their feet never swelled. And that was great. That was a great testimony among them. That God is in our midst. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the cloud. They were eating this manna. But in actual fact, God was not giving them that manna for them just to fill their bellies. But for them to know, man lives not by bread alone. That's the mystery. Because they missed that mystery, they all perished in the wilderness. And God has revealed to us that mystery. That's why God rejected Esau. He could not see the mystery. I don't say you were not offended. I don't mean you were not hurt. I don't mean you have no feelings of whatever happened in your life, whatever people did to you. Yes, you have got feelings. Yes, you have got your own way of seeing things. But there is a mystery why God let you go through there. Think of Moses. When he was born, he was put on the water there. And he was drawn from the river. And was given the name Moses. What was the promise of God? That I'm going to deliver your children from bondage. And we see Moses right at birth. He was delivered from that bondage, so to speak. Huh? Because you were taken into the house of Pharaoh. He never molded one brick. He was never whipped once on his back. That means he was delivered from bondage. He was living in the palace. But was that the liberty that God promised? It was not. And Moses, when he was 40, he got the mystery of deliverance. But on board, somebody could have come. Why do you worry yourself, Moses? You are not a slave here. You are not in bondage. You are living good. That's what the devil could come and tell Moses. Why should you worry? Let those mad daubers suffer there. You already have your redemption. But Moses saw the mystery. Can you see that? And he was not bound by this pleasure and good life that he had in the palace. He was drawn by the mystery of true deliverance. And the scripture tells us that he acted as a man who saw Christ. And when we think of the word Christ, Messiah, it means redemption. Not just redemption of this flesh, but the redemption of the soul, which was killed by Satan there in the Garden of Eden. So that was the desire of Moses, the salvation of his own soul. And whatever prompted him to do what he did was not the prevailing situation, but it was that he saw Christ. And he says, I will not enjoy the sins of Egypt for a time, because he could see eternity. Isn't that what was in Abraham when he was given the land of promise? He was not satisfied with that land, though fruitful it was. He was blessed in everything, but he looked for a city whose maker and builder is God. You know, when God chose you, he knew your desire. He predestinated you. That's why the Bible says now, what can separate us from the love of God? Because those whom God foreknew, he called, he predestinated, he called, he justified, he glorified. So what can separate us from that? Is it hunger? Is it poverty? Not even death can separate us. Not even angels. Not even present or future. We cannot be separated because we are the chosen of God. You'll never be frustrated to the end that you'll deny your faith in him. And you'll never be blessed. You'll never have comfort to the end that you have no desire for the things of God. Nothing can come in between because you are the chosen of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you know, the secret now is in the revelation of the mystery. That's where God is pleased. Jacob, he could see the mystery of the birthright. With Esau, as long as dad was calling him my firstborn, on that day when he showed the birthright to Jacob, when they got home, the father would call him, Esau, my firstborn. He said, see, Jacob, you think you have got the birthright? Let's hear what father is saying. He's calling me his firstborn. Can you see? He was contented in that. He never felt anything. But Jacob had respect in that thing which God respected. No wonder when the blessing time came, the blessing came upon Jacob. Because he saw the mystery. Amen. I think we can see how even Jesus Christ taught the people. In Luke chapter 8, we read the book of Luke, chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we just want to read verses 9 and 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable mean be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." When Jesus was teaching the people, he was doing it in parables. When God called Abraham to come out of Mesopotamia to go to the promised land, that was a parable. But Abraham had the understanding that there is a continuing city. And he lived in a tent all his life, because he could see this is only a parable. The true meaning is that eternal city. Can you see? When Abraham was given the son Isaac, he was willing by revelation to give him as a sacrifice, knowing the true son would rise again,
Amen.
Which meant Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It has always been in parables. When God took his people out of Egypt, it was a parable.
Amen.
They ate manna, that was a parable.
Amen.
Those who really desired, like even when he told them to build the temple, that was a parable. When David says, "I was happy when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God," he did not actually end his desire in that tabernacle built there. That was not what David desired. For he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he ends that psalm by saying, "I shall dwell in the house of God forever." Which house? Was it that tabernacle? No. He could see the real house. Can you see that? All the people that God has chosen, though given a parable, they give the understanding what God means by what has been given to them.
Amen.
And they are not distracted by neither wealth nor poverty.
Amen.
They stay by the power of getting the revelation. And here Jesus is telling them, "To you it is given to understand the mysteries of God, but to them it's hidden." Just imagine, Jesus was there in the wilderness, maybe from 8 a.m. up to maybe 4 p.m. He was teaching the people, and all the people were sitting there. No one even wanted to go and find food. They were sitting there, listening, enjoying the teaching. Even the young boy, he never opened his lunchbox. He had these buns and fish there, listening. But what did they get? Nothing. Because the next day when they came looking for him, he says, "You are looking for me because you ate bread, not because you saw the sign. What I was teaching you the whole day yesterday is for you to know that I am the true bread. Eat, this is my flesh." "Oh, how can you say that? Eat your flesh." Even his 70 ministers, they went back. Those 5,000, they went their way. And he was left there with the 12. And he asked them, "Shall you go also?" Then Peter said, "Where can we go? Because we know yesterday we ate bread. Where can we go? Because yesterday we ate fish. We cannot go anywhere because you healed my mother." "No. We cannot go anywhere because you made me catch fish on the sea." That's not what he said. "We cannot go anywhere because you have the word of life." Can you see? It was a parable understood by the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
To the end that the purpose of God may be accomplished. Can you see? We are not here by eventualities. We are not here because of something good there, something good there. No. Whatever or whichever way you want to pull us, for some went through the fire, some went through the flood, but there was a mystery. They all went through the blood. Amen. That's who we are. That's why God chose you. That's why God did not only call you, He actually chose you. Amen. That you may see, that you may know the purpose of His calling. Brothers, I don't say, you know, we are fanatical in our faith in God. We go through difficult times. We go through troublous waters. We go through the fire. But there's one thing that God has embedded in your heart. It is His will. Amen. And to that end, you want to accomplish that will.
Amen.
That's why God chose you.
Amen.
That's why God has got confidence in you. Doesn't the Bible say, a righteous man can fall 7 times, but you rise up again.
Amen.
Can you see? What makes him rise up is the righteousness that is in him.
Amen.
Not the prevailing situation. I want to thank God that He has got His own people. He has got His own chosen people that can come and give their life to God Himself. Not because it's an easy way, but because it's embedded in them to do the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, whatever God does, as we have seen, He does it to the end that His will be accomplished. Let's look at Paul, who was the first church age messenger. In the book of Romans, let's see who Paul is and why did God have to call him. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here is giving us his identity. He says he is an apostle. Amen. Called by God. Not because of what was happening in his day, but what was promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, which concerned Jesus Christ, who after the flesh was the son of David. So you can see even David's life was a mystery. It was hiding the true David, which was the son of David, which is Jesus Christ. So whatever David did and what he went through, he was only, containing the real thing, which was Christ, who was to come. Even when he knocked down Goliath, that was just a mystery. There was something that is greater. Goliath being death, the enemy of Israel, Christ would come and conquer that death. So his life, he just lived a mysterious life. And then Paul finds himself. He says, no, I am an apostle called by God through Jesus Christ. That he be an apostle. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, him being called to be an apostle, what was his purpose? How did he live? How did he behave in all the situations that he went through? Paul dedicated his life to the end that one time he said, when I look at you, I don't want to see you. I want to see Christ crucified in you. He wanted to see the person of Christ in the people. That's what he desired. That was his apostleship. He was determined, he was persuaded to preach Christ until Christ was manifested in the people. That was his desire. Amen. And he was called to be an apostle to the end that the intention of God be accomplished. When we come to the last church age messenger, which none other than William Branham, he says these words when he came to the conclusion of the seven church ages. He says, so we conclude the seven church age, saying only what the Spirit said unto to each age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The prophet here says, I sincerely believe that the Spirit of God has been speaking to us, not only teaching us the truths of the ages, but he has been faithfully dealing with our hearts, that they may turn to him. That is the reason for all preaching and teaching. For it is in the preaching and teaching of the word that the sheep hear the voice of God and follow him. Not for one moment do I bring a message. To the people, that they may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship or an organization. I have never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and man and people. And if I can accomplish just one, I will be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and man, wherein men become new creatures in Christ, filled with his Spirit, and live according to his word. That was the purpose of the message that God has given us in this day. That there be a oneness between man and God. But how did God do this? He called a man, anointed a prophet, whom he gave power over sickness, power of discernment, power of prophecy. And people enjoyed the healing. People enjoyed all those deliverances. But he was sent to bring a message that would accomplish the original purpose of God. The oneness between man and God. Yes, healing is good. I was once sick and I got healed. But for sure, I'm going to be sick again. When I leave this world, I may live through sickness. Yet God sent a gift to cure sickness. That is not the end of God's calling. Is that right? We have been called to have that oneness with God. To be one with him. To see the mystery of his will. To enjoy that fellowship with God. God desired fellowship. As seen in the Garden of Eden, where you come down and come to Adam and Eve and their fellowship. The same God has never changed. He still wants to come down and have fellowship with his children. That is the desire of God. That's why God created Adam and Eve. Monkeys were there. Elephants were there. Crocodiles were there. Birds were there. Fishes were there. But God never went to fellowship with those fish and things. He wanted fellowship with Adam and Eve. God wants fellowship with you. There are many people in the world. Is that right? God was not attracted by your money, your poverty, your being, because all those things, they are there in the world. But God was attracted by that gene which was implanted in you before the world began, that you may be a child of God, and God has chosen you. What a people you are. What a peculiar people you are. A chosen generation. A peculiar people. People called by God Himself for Him to dwell in you. Just imagine heaven and all its glory cannot satisfy God's heart. He wants to dwell in you. Amen. The Son, with all His glory, cannot express God. But in you, God is expressed. In the simplicity of who you are, by accepting and overcoming all these things that the devil tries to throw and put in our way, those things should never disturb us. We have been called to be of God. And we were called by God. Not because we were rich, not because we were poor. We were called because there was a purpose in God. And that purpose is accomplished in you. Amen. And then we can say this also. Why did God have to choose you in particular? Because He could see in you, though you may walk through the waters, though you may be taken through the fires, but God saw in you that sincere determination to abide by His word and accomplish His will. Can you see? It is that will of God, which is not by these things that pass. We have got the great King Solomon. He was the richest in all the world, and no one would be rich as Solomon. God chose him because before he was born by Bathsheba, God says, I have loved him. He's my son. And he was very rich. But he was not desired of God because he's rich. And we can look down there. There is Lazarus, poor and sick, with all the boils and things. But he was loved of God. It is not by our appearance. It is by the heart, which is ready to accept God's will and walk in His way. What a blessed people you are, that you have that desire in you, irrespective of what you can go through and what may come upon your life. For Paul says in the book of Corinthians, it is desired in a steward to be faithful. Faithful to what? To the cause. We are all stewards in the house of God. And it is desired of us to be faithful to the purpose of God's calling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews, Moses was faithful in all his house. Amen. Because when the deep calls, there must be a deep to respond. There's something in you that responds to the deep calling of God. It's not a surface thing. It's the mystery of God. And in you, there is that ability to respond to the deep when the deep calls. And because of that, God has called you. And we call that calling, we call that choosing the grace of God. Amen. For by grace we are saved. It's just the grace of God, not what we have done. Because we have sinned, we have been born in iniquity. But grace has come to unveil, to put into being that great will and purpose of God that was enshrined in you, that by His calling and by His choosing, you were able to understand that great mystery of God. May God bless you. May God be with you. May God keep unveiling to us that great desire. Unveil to us the great purpose. Whatever we are going through, let's not look at things that pass. Let's not look at things that come and go. Let's look to that which stays, like our father Abraham, who looked for that city whose builder and maker was God. He was not satisfied in whatever he went through. He had riches, but he still came knocking at the door of God. Where is the promise? Abraham, what's wrong with you? I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. You came here with a few cows. Now you've got all this. Until you separated from your nephew because of the expanse of riches. No, I was called for a purpose. Where is that purpose? Where is that son you told me you are going to give me? That was the desire of Abraham. Brothers and sisters, there is that embedded in you, that real thing, which is your calling. Respect that calling. Be jealous of that calling. Be jealous of that choice. Like Paul of old says, I have espoused you to one husband as a chaste virgin. Let's adore that. Let's hold on to that. That is what God has done to us, even in this evil age. Whatever may come and go, God has called you. Because you are the only one that can satisfy the heart of God to accomplish the purpose that was in Him before there was anything. Maybe in conclusion, I'll say this. When God chose you, there was nothing that was there before the foundation of the world. He chose you. So, whatever can come today, though good or bad, it cannot disturb that which was established before all these things were. You were built upon not some sensation, not some stimulation, not some anxiety or this or that. You were built upon the very purpose and mind of God before there was anything. God chose you. God loved you. And that God is the one who is walking with you through all these things that you may walk through, through all the discouragements, through all the fire and the floods. God will walk with you because He's determined to see you through. That His glory will then overshadow the earth and the universe. May God bless you.